All right, and once again, as we stated, it is an honor to hear from Brother and Sister Prime. They are leaders and elders in our church, but they are also a great example of faithfulness to the Lord, to our pastor, to his wife, Sister Clark, and to our church. And one thing about Sister Prime that I can think of is Sister Prime is always busy. She's always doing something. She's always helping behind the scenes. You may not know about it, but whenever we have certain functions there, Sister Prime, early setting up or very late cleaning up, and she's doing it on her own. So they're just a great model and example of faithfulness and service to the Lord. Sister Prime, it is an honor to have you. I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Greetings, Truth Church. I would just like to say to God be the glory on this Memorial Day, and to say thank you to all those who have given their all. Thank you so much. Your sacrifice is greatly appreciated. God bless America. During this global pandemic, we have had our own troops on the ground, working together to keep us together in unity, pressing forward, not giving in to what could so easily beset us. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. While we are all still here, let us give thanks to the Lord. Thank you to you all. You have gone way beyond the call of duty. Just in brief, Pastor Clark, a true pastor's heart. First Lady, when she takes that microphone, wow, look out. You know it's a power burst ahead. I love it. Brother Vic, every day, 7 days a week, praise and worship, and the entire uplifting and encouraging team. To all of those
Amen.
Up front on the firing line, down to all those behind the scenes. Now, how sweet the sound and vision crew, which is Brother Tulak, Brother Sean, Brother Jacob, each and every one who thinks about helping, in case I left some out, because I'm sure I did. You guys are lifesavers. We salute you. Everyday devotions. Reminds me of Sister Clark's song, It's Going to Be Worth It All. Brothers and sisters, you are truly nothing less than amazing. We are a blessed people, a privileged people, to know and to have Jesus all together in unity. Psalms 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God
Amen.
Bless you all in Jesus' name. The end.
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Marie Prime, for that powerful, powerful testimony. And as you could hear the undercurrent, church, there was a lot of military terms I heard there. I heard, thank you for your service, for your dedication, for everything you're doing. And thank you, Brother and Sister Prime. And now we're going to bring on Brother Prime. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, brother?
Loud and clear, sir. Go right ahead.
Praise the Lord, church. Good to be here tonight. Love everyone in our church. We've got a good church. We've got good leadership. We've got a great pastor and first lady, and I'm honored to be in our church. And you know what? I'm expecting to see our church do great things in the work of the Lord, because the Lord is going to bless us, because our people are into this. And I feel great things are going to be accomplished in the near future, not only for our church, but also for our family members. A lot of us been around for a long time, and we've been praying and we've been seeking God and saying, Lord, I want my kids saved. I want my spouse saved. I want my grandparents, whoever it might be. I'm telling you, God's getting ready. He's fixing to fill some of these people with the Holy Ghost. We've just got to hang in there and do our part and dedicate and give ourselves to the Lord in prayer and fasting and faith, and we're going to see great things come about in our church. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Amen. And that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. What I'm going to talk about is a little bit about me coming to God how he works it all out. Amen. If I have enough time at the end of this, I want to talk about revival, something God's been really dealing with me. But I want to give you a little background on Brother Stan. Amen. You know, most of you know me. I've been in the church next month, June 8th. I'll be in the church 40 years, this church. I haven't gone anywhere else. Amen. It's been in this church. I've been faithful. God has blessed me and used us in a mighty way. And you know what? We're honored to be in this church. Amen. We first came in under the leadership of Brother Buxton. He was a good man, a man of prayer. I've said this before. He helped me dig a footing. Helped me dig a footing and lay the first course of bricks in my walk with God. Pastor Clark come on the scene now 22, 23 years ago, whatever it was, and he helped me build upon that. Amen, every day. And I'm honored to serve under good men like this. And I just want to tell you a little bit about how this all worked out for me, okay? When I was born, July 10th, 1953. I know I'm an old guy to a lot of you guys, but you know what? I feel young in heart. Amen. But I was born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And this is a little background on Brother Stan. And you know what? Me and my brother are a year apart, and we were both born. My biological dad, which I never knew, left us. Left my mother, left my brother, and myself. And we were there on our own, and my mother had to make do and get a job and work and provide for two young kids because, like I said, my biological dad, which I never knew, he never came church. Get this. He never came back into his two sons' lives. Never. Amen. You say, Brother Stan, did you ever want to look him up? No, sir. I never did want to look him up. If he didn't come to take care of me and my brother and my mother, you know, that I didn't have anything to say about him. I got no grief. He's dead now. I got no grief or no, I hold nothing against him. But I just can't imagine a father doing that. I just can't imagine. But it happened to me. And maybe I'm saying this to let you know, church, you know, if you had a mother or father maybe that wasn't good to you, you know what? It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. But God, I'm going to tell you a little bit more as this story about me coming into the church goes on, how God brought a father into my life, not only him, but a real father being my father, Bill Prime. And Bill Prime came into my life. God saw that. He brought him in, and he ended up marrying my mother. And he raised me and my brother. Adopted us, did everything he could, and he's been a great father ever since, and we're so glad for that, that, you know, he went into a ready-made family. That's a big deal, you know, two small kids, but he did it, and you know what? I love my dad. I was just over there today. I took him a strawberry shake from McDonald's. That's one of his favorites. So I took it over there to him, and I appreciate and love my dad. But anyhow, onward. At 19 years old, I had a respect for God, but I never really knew God like we know God. We attended church here and there, church we went, but I never knew God. But there was always a longing, a desire in my heart for something. I didn't know it. I'm not going to tell you God dealt with me back then, but, you know, I always respected that there was a God. I didn't know about him, but I had a respect for him, can I put it that way, at 19. At 19 years old, on December 23rd, which is right before Christmas, 1972, I was into backpacking in those days, and me and a couple buddies decided to go backpacking over the top of Baldy and go down into the East Fork of the Azusa Canyon, be picked up over there and be home for Christmas. Well, little did we know when we got to the top, there was a storm there, and there was a lot of ice and snow, and we were crossing an ice chute, and we had to duck down because we had big packs on, and every time we stood up, the wind would gust, and if it caught us, it would blow us over into this ice chute, and we'd go down the cliff. So I misjudged it, to make a long story short, and I stood up. And the wind caught me, and I went down head first, and I went over. I slid down about 200 feet, and then it dropped down and they couldn't see me. But one thing I didn't say right before that, I just, right before this happened, church, my hands were cold. And I told my buddy, Kevin, I said, Kevin, get my gloves out of my backpack. They were right there on top, and I'm going to put them on. And it wasn't a minute later, I'm sliding down this ice chute, and I ended up going, they estimated, almost 2,000 feet down. It was solid ice and snow. And I went head first. So my buddies thought I was dead because I went down and went over that. But you know what? God, I think, was dealing with me way back then. He told me, I feel, as I look back on this, that put those gloves on. So we did. Well, anyhow, as I'm going down this cliff, I'm blacking out. And this thing's kind of a gradual slope down to the bottom. And I see a small tree. I kind of blacked out, and I stuck my arm out, and I grabbed it, and I stopped there. And anyhow, I'm not going to go into all the details of that night. Ask me if you see me, and I'll fill you in on the story. But the thing I want to say is I'm sitting there on this cliff, side of this cliff, and it's probably a good 100 yards to the bottom, and I wasn't going to do anything in the morning. And I'm looking out, and I see the 15 freeway, and I see Victorville and that area, the lights from there. And I'm thinking, my God, I could have died. And what I'm saying is, you know what, church? God has his hand upon us from our mother's womb. I think back to this day. You know, I knew nothing about God. I wasn't serving God. But you know what? God had his hand on me even when I was naive, even when I wasn't, living for him at that time. But God knew what the future held, and he knew that someday I was going to serve him, and someday I'd be sitting here tonight telling you that next month I've served him faithfully for 40 years. So God has us in his hands in the future. And that's one thing I just wanted to say about that. Then I met Joe McGee. Well, Joe McGee, if you don't know Joe, he's my brother-in-law. He's a brother of my wife, Marie, okay? And again, we're talking about how God works everything out. So Joe McGee, he didn't go to church at that time. We were crazy guys. I don't even want to go on this stuff. But anyhow, I met Marie by going over to the house. So I met Marie, and she was in church, but she was in a backslidden state. Now, get this, guys. Here's and I still believe God did this. God had a backslidden young lady, amen, that was attracted to me, and I was attracted to her. And you think about this, was this all because God was working to bring me into the church? I can't say yes or no to that, church, but you know what? God works in mysterious ways. Amen. Why did he deal with me on that cliff 4 years earlier? Why did he deal with me with a backslidden young lady, that was a daughter, not a daughter, was a sister of one of my best friends? But anyhow, so we met, we dated, her mom, dad's Clara and Ruben, they said, man, you got to watch out for this guy. I looked like Charlie Manson back then, guys. I had long hair, a big beard. I was a character. But you know what? God cleaned me up. And hopefully I'm not a character today, but I'm thankful for what God did. But what I want to emphasize on is that a year later, we dated for about 1 year, and then we got married. We've been married now 44 years, church, 44 years. I've been in the church 40 years. That's next month, 40 years. And we've been married next month, 44 years. So you know what? God has a way of working it out. Amen. Even when we're all, thinking, God, how are you going to do something? He's already got it figured out. I didn't have any idea of any of this, but I had a small hunger for the desires of God. And look what God did. He brought somebody into my life that knew truth, that was in a backslidden state. Can you imagine a normal young lady that was full of the Holy Ghost and serving God wouldn't have nothing to do with a guy that looked like Charlie Manson? But because God knew the timing, and he knew how to handle things, he put a love in her for me, and to this day, I'm serving God. Now, I mean, it blows me away, church. It blows me away. Anyhow, so we got married. I want to say something, too, to all you that newlyweds and all you that are thinking about getting married down the road. You know what I did? I asked her dad for her hand in marriage. Amen. I might have been a character. I might not have been serving God, but I had enough respect. I said, I want to marry your daughter. Can I? And he gave me permission to do that. So you know what? I still had a little bit of something in me besides just being a character in those days. So anyhow, 1 year we got married and all that. Then we went to church on special occasions. Now, you got to remember, Reuben and Clara were in the church. So, you know, they'd invite us to Sundays. Once in a while we'd go, but mostly on the holidays, Easter, maybe a special Christmas thing or something. So I got to know Brother Buxton even better because he married us. Brother Buxton actually married Marie and myself. And so, you know, we got to know him. They'd have him over for dinner, and you know, I'd kid with him and all that. He'd always ask, when are you going to come to church, Stan? I go, you know, you give him that old line, yeah, I'm coming. But, you know, I didn't. I was a character. But anyhow, so I was working downtown Ontario in construction. Brother Herbert Buxton, I bet he found out about this guy. He came by every day, consistent. Stan, when are you going to come to church? Stan, when are you going to come to church? You know, finally, after just being polite to him, I said, I'll be there Sunday. So I went Sunday and I did it. But here's another thing, consistency, guys. Don't give up on whatever. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on asking people to come to church. Be consistent. It worked on me. It'll work on whoever you're trying to get. So anyhow, we're moving on, and it was 1979, okay? I got the Holy Ghost in 80. So in 79, we're sitting in bed on a Sunday morning, and I don't remember all the details, just a little bit, but the Soviet Union sent troops into Afghanistan, and there was rumors of major war. It was a big deal back then, you that were alive and knew this, what was going on. And they're talking about missiles and all kinds of stuff coming. And so me and Marie are laying there in bed, and Marie asked me and said, hey, what do you think if there's a war and missiles are shot over here? And I said, well, there's a possibility we could die. And Marie said, well, you know, if we die, she goes, you know, we could go to hell. And Marie had enough background. She was raised in the church. She wasn't going to church at that time. And, you know, I had enough understanding of the church, guys, that I said, you know what, I don't want to go to hell either. I don't, and nobody in the right mind, church, wants to go to hell. So, you know what, we made up our minds, we're going to start going to church. Marie asked me, she said, you know what, Stan, for the last 4 years of our life, I didn't go to church because of you. Would you go to church with me? I said, yes, honey. You know what, you're a good wife. I love you dearly. And I said, I would go to church with you. So we started going to church. Well, get this, crazy things, guys, crazy things. But anyhow, we go to church, and I'm sitting on the back pew. You know how it is. When your first couple times you go there, at least me, guys, I didn't get up in front. I wasn't a big, bold guy getting up front. I'm going to, you know, hear it all. But I'm sitting on the back pew. I'm the only guy in there with long hair and a beard. Okay, everybody else is clean cut, looking good. And this preacher pulls this text on men with long hair. And I'm looking around, I'm going to Marie, I'm going, he must be talking to me because there ain't nobody else in this church that got long hair. But you know what? He wasn't picking on me, church. He was preaching what God gave him, and amen. I just happened to be there, and I wasn't offended or anything, but it was just coincidental, you know, just coincidental that, you know, he preached on that, and I was the only one there at that time. And so, anyhow, I got baptized somewhere in 1979. I don't remember the exact date, but I got baptized, but I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know what? I tried. I'll tell you, I wore everybody out. Like I believe Brother Ray said last night, he's got that bald spot on the back of his head because it's so many hands on his head. They were telling me, hang on, let loose, hang on, let loose. I mean, I think I helped pray some of them guys through because they worked so hard on praying me through. But I didn't get the Holy Ghost. I just couldn't get it. I was frustrated. I'm going, Lord, Lord, I'm serious as ever. Lord, why ain't I getting the Holy Ghost? And I'm concerned. This is 40 years ago, church. I'm concerned then that the Lord is going to come back and Brother Stan, I wasn't Brother Stan at that time, but Brother Stan's going to be lost because I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence and speaking in other tongues. And that was 40 years ago. I still believe he's going to come. He could come during the before I finish up this devotion tonight. But what I'm saying is I was nervous. I was nervous. And I said, you know what, God, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. So on June 8th of 1980, and I'm not going to go on all the details. Most of you know this story, and that's funny and all that. I make it funny. But anyhow, I went home after morning service, and I said, Lord, there's a reason why I haven't got the Holy Ghost, and I want to know it. So I told my wife, well, she was making some lunch for us. I said, I'm going in the bedroom. Don't come in there until I'm done. And I'm going in there, and I'm going to get a hold of God, and I'm going to find out. And that's what we need to do, church. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We need to get a hold of God for the things that matter in our life. God wants us to do that. And I've learned over the years a lot of things. I'm not saying I got it all together, church. I don't. But I'll tell you what, in the 40 years, I've learned a lot of things. And my God, God wants us to be aggressive. He wants us to be like a bulldog and chomp onto that prayer and hang on with a bulldog grip until we get an answer. That's how God's going to give us an answer. But anyhow, I went in that room, and I got down on my hands and knees, and I started praying. I said, God, how come I haven't got the Holy Ghost? And I mean, I just started pleading my heart out to the Lord. And this was the first time God ever spoke to me. It was an audible voice. But this was the first time, and I didn't even have the Holy Ghost, and God was dealing with me. Thank God he loves us. Thank God he deals with us in whatever way it takes to get us saved. And so I'm down there on the floor, and God spoke to me, not audible voice, but very clear. When you pray to me, you're mind on something else. And we all can do it, guys. How many of you have talked to somebody, and you know they're not listening, they're looking right through you. You know, if you're talking to them after Sunday school in the morning church and they're thinking about lunch, we've all seen it. We all did it. Well, apparently I was doing that with God. And that's why I wasn't receiving the Holy Ghost. Even though I was praying up a storm, I wasn't focused on Lord, one mind and one accord. One mind and one accord, very important. So I said, okay, God, if that's it, then God, give me something to focus in on you. And here's my first vision. My God, the first time God spoke to me, now I get a vision. I see a hand. My eyes are closed, guys. I'm down on my hands and knees, just down there weeping. And all of a sudden, I see a hand in my vision. And I'm going, oh, man, this is unreal. I mean, remember, guys, I wasn't close to God. I didn't know what all this stuff was. When I first came to church, I thought everybody was half crazy running around doing all the stuff they do. And God finally got a hold of me, made me half crazy. But I love it. I love it. But anyhow, so I see this hand. I see this hand, and I'm going, whoa. People ask me, was there any nail holes or scars? And I said, I don't remember seeing that. But I was so thankful that God answered a little prayer for me. I just started thanking God. Before I knew it, guys, I was speaking in other tongues. I heard it. I got up rejoicing, saying, my God, I got it in my mind, because I can't stop shouting and talking in tongues. So I run out of the bedroom door. We had two entrances in the kitchen. I was making some laps, guys. I was making laps. I was praising God, worshiping God, talking in tongues, just having a good old time. Marie called up Brother Buxton at the time, just held the phone up and said, listen to the stand. And I'm running around like a crazy man, just worshiping and loving God. And I'll tell you what, it was the greatest thing that ever happened. And to this day, amen, I can remember it. I can remember it so vividly because God dealt with me all those years, guys. I look back. I didn't really think about it until the last few years, how God was dealing with me all this time. But anyhow, I just wanted to share that with you. and let you know how God brought me into the church. Amen. I didn't have a church background. I didn't have mom and dad to serve God. I didn't have any of that, but God dealt with me. Amen, and brought me in. Now, one other thing here I'm going to do, and I hope I'm not too much longer. I'm just going to take a couple minutes. But revival, guys. God dealt with me so strong about this morning during my prayer. Amen. Revival. And anyhow, this came to me. I used this on faith when I talked about faith a few weeks ago. And it says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And I'm not going to read the rest of it. But anyhow, revival. We heard the tongues and interpretation message yesterday. God, woo, I feel the Holy Ghost, church. God's ready to give us revival. Revival. It's here. Our families are coming in. The things that you want, I believe there's going to be blessings above blessings. There's going to be people blessed financially, jobs, all kinds of stuff. You're saying, oh, wow, the economy, everything's messed up. God can overcome all that. But what I want to tell you about revival is revival in that first part of that verse, and it says, examine yourself. If we're going to have revival, church, let's start with our own self. Let Brother Stan look at me and begin to say, Lord, what is wrong with me? What can I do to draw closer to you? And you guys do the same, whatever it takes. Amen. Because revival's coming. God already promised it. We heard it again yesterday, and it's here. Brother Vic.
Thank you, Brother Prime. Wow. First of all, thank you, Sister Marie Prime, and thank you, Brother Stan Prime. And I say their first names because some of you may not know their first names. We want to make sure you know who they are. Church, all I can say is, wow. I've heard some of these details, but there's many things that I have not heard until tonight. I've seen the beard, Brother Prime. I've seen the picture of Brother Prime's beard. Anybody want to see that next Sunday, ask him. He may show you a picture of him with a beard. But here's what I want to say.
Brother Vic?
Yes, Sister Clark.
You go ahead. After you, I want to say. You go ahead, what you're saying.
Okay. I was just going to say thank you, Brother and Sister Prime, for opening your hearts with such personal details. And again, we weren't aware of a lot of these details, but we are aware of the great end results, church. And that is a husband and wife that is strong, stable, and faithful. And Sister Clark, go right ahead, Sister Clark. I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay. Brother Stan and Sister Marie, are you still there?
Amen.
You know what?
Yes.
Brother Stan and Sister Marie, yes, I can hear you. You don't know what a strength you are. I've tried to express it through the years, what a strength you and your wife are to us. As a pastor and pastor's wife, we feel your support, your loyalty, I can't even express all the words. We trust you, Brother Stan and Sister Marie,
yes,
and that says
thank
a
you.
Lot. We trust you with our people. We trust you and church, new converts. You don't even have to be a new convert. If you are looking for somebody in your life to be a mentor or to model yourself after, this is a couple right here that you need to look to.
Yes.
They are the real deal. And Brother Stan and Sister Marie, you did fabulous. You just absolutely, you kind of brought, we've seen
Amen.
Some new talent in you. And Brother Stan, you are always inspiring and encouraging and uplifting. And thank you so much. I can't tell you what you mean to us. You, Brother
thank
Stan
you,
and Sister,
Sister
Marie, were
we
here
you.
When we. Yes, you were here when we came. You were here before
yes.
we were, and
yes.
you have been. You have just made everything just so easy for us. We love you so much. God bless
we
you.
We love you guys.
Thank you, Sister
Thank
Clark.
You. Thank you, Sister Clark.
Hey, Church Brother there. Vic,
yes,
this is Brother
yes,
Clark. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
I want to read a text to Brother Stan and Sister Marie. Usually during these devotions, texts begin to start coming in, and I want to read one from Elizabeth Jimenez. She said, "Elders like Brother Prime make me feel safe. With elders like him, they help us younger ones keep the right perspective." God bless you both. It was tremendous.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Clark. And there it is, Church. Pastor Clark and Sister Clark summed it up. Loyalty, faithfulness, great models and examples are Brother and Sister Prime. And the last thing I want to say is this. Church, we just heard the ingredients for revival. Thank you, Brother Prime. These are the ingredients for revival. And with that faith and then anointing and distilling, why don't we just close out all together right now with a prayer and ask the Lord to continue to embed this spirit of revival in us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the great things we heard, Brother Prime and Sister Prime. Give us tonight, Lord Jesus, speaking from their hearts, from their personal experience, real people, real Christians, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to view them and to see what they are and to model ourselves and mirror that same image. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. And everyone said amen. And with
amen.
That said, everyone, we look forward to having everyone back at this same conference call number tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. We will be hearing from Sister Shirley Borelli. God bless all of you. Amen.